I'm from a religious order, a community of priests, brothers and sisters, and we do 6 years of training here in Melbourne. The brothers next door, literally next door. But for the 2 years before that, to a total of 8 years, we start off in Canberra, where I'm originally from. Now, it was like a week or two into the formation, okay? And we all come from all different locations, and even some guys came from overseas. They came from all these different countries, and we thought we'd go for a swim. Now, in Canberra, there are rivers. There's no beach, but the best we can do is we have a few rivers. So we went to these rivers, and one of the guys said to me in the car, look, I can't swim very well, okay? If I get into trouble, can you jump in? And I said, oh, yeah, of course, man. I'm not going to let you drown. Now, I was standing on the edge, on the ledge, and he was 1 or 2 meters away. I just want to preface this story by saying I thought he was joking, okay? So the poor guy, he starts yelling, Justin, come and save me. And so I picked up a stick and I threw it at him and I walked away. Okay? I thought he was joking, okay? So I just threw him a stick. Poor guy, like first week in Australia or second week, and he's already traumatized by almost drowning and one of his brothers just threw a stick at him. I mean, so I find out for the other guys that he wasn't joking and that I probably needed to go say sorry. And so I went up to him and I said, look, oh, I didn't know you were joking. I'm so sorry, you know. And when I said that, he was so humble. He was just so quick. He didn't even let me finish what I was saying. No worries, no worries. I understand. I forgive you. I'm like, wow. That was so, so quick. You know, some. I don't know about you, but it depends who we're going to ask for forgiveness for, how ready, you know, how eager I am to ask, you know. Some people are just so amazing, you know. They're so humble. They're ready to, they're slow to anger and rich in mercy, you know, it says in the Bible. And so we have this confidence. You know, over the years, of course, we all fall short. We're brothers. We do the wrong thing at times. We have to say sorry. And if it was this guy, I'd be like, oh, Tim, yeah, cool. I'll go say sorry. Not a problem. And that's, I think, the reason why I'm telling you this story is not to make you laugh or to shock you with how, you know, how horrible this priest is by throwing sticks at his brother. It's because tonight I want to speak about something very important, and that is that we should have complete confidence in the mercy of God. In our hearts, we should think, I've done this wrong thing, but God is immeasurably merciful. He's rich in forgiveness. And so that we should, our hearts should be filled with confidence to go to Him and ask for forgiveness. This is the heart of our faith, actually. We're very lucky tonight. We have this gospel that touches this topic so beautifully, and it actually touches the center of what we believe as Catholics, the very core of the good news, the great story of Jesus. Jesus said, as I just read, the Son of Man must be lifted up as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert. He said, the Son of Man must be lifted up as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert. Strange language, if you've never heard that before. What was he talking about? Now, you may have heard the story of this guy, biblical figure called Moses. Now, back in the Old Testament, right at the front of the Bible, God calls this one man to be a leader of the people and to take his people who was enslaved in Egypt, out of Egypt, through God's power and through a series of miraculous events. So Moses leads these people of God out of Egypt through the Red Sea, if you've heard that story. However, what happens next is these people of God, after being liberated by the mighty hand of God, they find themselves in the desert for many years, tens of years. And they were, at this point, in numbers, getting a bit tired of it. They were hungry. They started to protest about God, protest to God, complaining. And they said to him, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? They started to rebel and become sinful. And so the Lord sent poisonous serpents to the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died, as it says in 21 Numbers. Now, if you're familiar with some of the early stories in the Bible, you know that the very first people, Adam and Eve, they were tempted by the serpent. The serpent, the snake, is a symbol, biblical symbol, of the devil, of evil, of temptation to sin. And so here the people are. They've sinned. They're literally being bitten by snakes. And so they go to Moses and they say, Moses, can you ask God to get rid of these snakes? We're dying, basically. And so Moses says to God to liberate these people. And the Lord says to Moses, make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live. So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. What a strange story. People were being bitten by snakes after being liberated from Egypt. They're in the desert, and the antidote Moses was given by God was to make a statue serpent, raise it up on a pole, and if you're bitten, you're to look at the serpent and you'll be healed, you'll be saved, you live on. It's an amazing image then that Jesus says in the gospel. What did he just say? What did I read to you? The Son of Man must be lifted up as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert. The Son of Man is Jesus. Jesus is telling Nicodemus that he must be lifted up. It's a way of saying he must be lifted up on the cross, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert. That as the serpent in the desert was lifted up and everyone looked at it who was bitten by the snake, so too, if we're bitten by the snake, if we are in evil or sin or burdened, where to look at the Jesus raised up? Where to go to the cross and look at Jesus with the eyes of faith, to gaze at him? And then we will be saved. Saved from what binds us the most. It's an amazing reality that at Good Friday, the priest comes in with the cross and he holds it and he walks through the back. And in our church, we sing this hymn. Behold, behold, the wood of the cross on which is hung our salvation. Oh, come, let us adore. Do you know that hymn? It comes to memory. Behold, the wood of the cross on which is hung our salvation. Let us adore. Let us reverence it. When we're in trouble, let us look at it, because there is our salvation. What does this mean? This is the heart of our faith, people. What does this mean? Well, St. Paul in 2 Corinthians says, for our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What he's saying is, on the cross, Jesus, who was completely innocent, hadn't sinned at all, took on himself the weight of all sin, evil, rebellion, disobedience. He took it on himself like a sacrifice, like the sacrificial lamb, the new sacrificial lamb. And in an amazing, in the power of God, rose again, and in doing so, conquered the power of sin, conquered the power of death, that in him, in Jesus, as it says in Corinthians, we might become righteousness, we might be saved, we might have life, not just in eternity, but starting now. The power of that, the death and resurrection of Christ would come to us if we come to Jesus in faith. It's a calling that we all have. Now, you might be thinking, couldn't he have done it another way? If we look at the cross, it's not a very nice scene. It's a horrible scene. It's probably the most horrible thing that ever happened, that a God among us was crucified and took all the sin, all the evil upon himself. The eyes of faith tell us that that is our salvation. And as we know we're supposed to respond to this by coming to him with our burdens. Because the truth is, we're all going to fall short. The truth is that every one of us is going to fall short. But as it says in many Christian denominations, they all say the same thing. If you were the only person in the world, he would have done the same thing. Because the cross is a symbol, is a sign that God loves you. He went to such an extreme end to take all of our sin upon himself to prove his love for us. When we look at the cross, we look at an extreme act of mercy. When we look at the cross, we see our salvation and we see love in action. We see mercy in action. Today, we stand here and we say, how do we respond to this? How are we to open up to such a gift? Well, St. Paul says that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's not putting us down. Everyone will fall short. Whether it's throwing at a stick at a brother in the river or something else, we're all going to make a mistake. Okay, we're all going to sin, rebel. If we're in that state, if we get bitten by the serpent of sin or evil, we're to be like the people in the desert and go to look at the serpent, look at Jesus raised up on the cross. We're to come to him with faith and bring to him all of our stuff. See, if we let all of our sin and all the evil or whatever we've done wrong, if we just push it down and just try and ignore it, bring it to the dark, like leave it in the darkness in some dark corner of our heart, the burden gets heavier. It doesn't go away. It's like if we were to, you know, try and hide certain things in our soul, like it's just there, you know, and God's calling us to bring it to the light. To bring it to light, to take it to the foot of his cross, to lay it towards him, the one who has power to forgive that, the one who's eager to give you mercy. The principal way we do this is the sacrament of reconciliation. We literally bring our sins out of the darkness, we confess them. We tell the priest, we tell God through the priest that this is what I'm struggling with. You lay them out at the foot of the cross. And then God pours out from the abundance of his mercy definitive forgiveness. When he forgives definitively. He doesn't then next year say, oh, you did this. No, when he forgives, he forgives. And when he forgives from an abundance of mercy. So let's be bold this Easter time. As we journey towards Easter, let's be bold, and anything that is on our hearts, anything weighing us down, let us look towards the cross and bear them out before him. Lord Jesus, we believe that you are full of mercy, that if we look at you with the eyes of faith, you will save us. You will take our deepest wounds upon your cross and you will liberate us. Because that's who you are. You are love. Your name is mercy, as the Pope would say. So Lord, lead us to your cross. Amen.
Hello, Father Dan here. If this homily has been helpful, there are a few things I'd love for you to do. Firstly, subscribe to this podcast or share this episode with someone who might find it helpful. And consider also helping us to expand our mission and reach out to more people by donating at stbenedicts.com.au/donate, or you can click on the link in the podcast description. Thanks so much for joining us and have a blessed week.